Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome into the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, 991thesportsanimal.com, our website, or on the Sports Animal app powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please hit that five-star rating button, leave a review, and hit that subscribe button. Tell somebody you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. Tennessee beats Appalachian State 79-38 at Thompson Bowling Arena. So after climbing into the top 10 of the AP poll for the first time this season, the Vols improve to 3-0 with a dominant performance against the Mountaineers. Appalachian State, they were 4-1 going into that game. Two of their wins came against non-Division I opponents. They were coming off that win over Charlotte. Only loss was an overtime to Bowling Green. But at the end of the day, a team that ranked outside the top 180 in the KenPom rankings. Tennessee, of course, a top 20 team. They moved up to 11 in the KenPom rankings after that win over Appalachian State, mainly because you saw a much more efficient performance on the offensive side of the floor, but another dominant performance defensively by Tennessee. And that was really impressive, holding Appalachian State to just 13 points in the first half, which is the second fewest by Tennessee under Rick Barnes. The lowest total was actually 11. So nearly setting a best there in the Rick Barnes era for fewest points allowed in the second half. Tennessee got a really deep rotation in. Nobody played more than 25 minutes. Four different players scored in double figures. A lot of distribution in terms of playing time. Tennessee ran the offense the way that it wanted to. It had a lot more shots than Appalachian State just because of the turnovers. Tennessee forcing 18 takeaways from Appalachian State. Tennessee just committed 6 turnovers on the year. So you hadn't really seen a big turnover problem from Tennessee. You had seen spurts where Tennessee would get a little bit careless with the basketball, especially in that game against Cincinnati. But you hadn't seen anything astronomically high, like upwards of 20 or more turnovers. But anytime you can go out and have single digits in the turnover column, you're likely going to win the basketball game. And Tennessee did just about everything right. They settled for some threes early, and Rick Barnes talked about that in the post-game press conference. He thought his team took some three-point shots that they shouldn't have. And to be fair, those three-point shots were open. They worked the inside-out offense. They had some good looks, but they were some bad misses. And that's something that's going to continue to be a concern for Tennessee unless they just start getting shots to fall. But all in all, Tennessee finishes 6 of 18 from behind the arc, but 49% from the field, only shot 9 free throw attempts and didn't find the free throw line until they were well into the second half. Appalachian State made a conscious effort to keep Tennessee off the charity stripe, especially after the Vols had 30 foul shots against Cincinnati, which proved to be a big difference in that win over the Bearcats. So Tennessee, for the most part, did a good job staying out of foul trouble, especially in the second half. But all in all, Appalachian State just outmatched against Tennessee. Costly turnovers. Tennessee made it look easy on defense. Had 5 blocks, 2 by Fulkerson. You had the 1 by Pons in the first half that was just a monster rejection. And it was interesting because on the SEC Network last night, Tom Hart and Jimmy Dykes were on the call. And the night before the game, Jimmy Dykes had tweeted that he was doing some work getting ready for Tennessee and Appalachian State, and he said, if there's a better defender in the country than Eve Pons, I don't know who it is. The guy can correct mistakes better than anybody, get back, and is a great rim protector. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened on that block by Pons. He missed a three-point shot off the rebound by Appalachian State. He got beat back the other way across the floor and made up for it with this huge rejection. And basically just, it looked like he was trying to jump over the backboard on the shot attempt, but he destroyed the attempt by Appalachian State. And it's just another example of how athletic Eve Pons is. You had those pair of blocks by Fulkerson, a block by Josiah Jordan James, and one more by Rus Plavsic, who played 5 minutes in the game. Tennessee went pretty deep in its rotation. They actually went 12 deep. You had Kamwa get in for 8 minutes. Pember, Drew Pember for 4 minutes. Plofsic for five. EJ Anasicki played 17 minutes. He had six more rebounds, two of them on the offensive glass. So continuing to do work in the rebounding column for Tennessee. Keon Johnson, 23 minutes. Jaden Springer with 22 minutes. Devontae Gaines made his first appearance of the year playing 8 minutes. And again, I've said it before, but that goes to show the depth that Tennessee has, where Tennessee's going 12 deep in its rotation, and you're still not seeing four-star freshman Corey Walker. So that goes to show the level that Rick Barnes is now recruiting at consistently, and the level that he's developing those three-star guys into quality starters and guys that are making a big impact for Tennessee in both the front court and the back court on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. It's a really deep Tennessee basketball team. And Rick Barnes spoke to the media after the game, and you had some of the freshmen, especially Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, diving for a loose ball when Tennessee was up by 30 late in the game. Big effort plays where some guys are taking charges and just trying to continue to be solid defensively, even when Tennessee's up by 30, 40 points. They won the game by 41, and Rick Barnes address that, players making big effort plays with the game well in hand late in the second half.
Well, I think it says a lot for the respect they have for each other. I think it says a lot for the respect they have for the game, too, because we talk about the respect for the game that you have to have. We talk about, you know, we want to make every possession count. You know, every possession is important. It goes back. I think they know that, you know, when we tomorrow we'll look at this film and scrub it out the way we would with any game. I mean, that's what we do. So they know that they're going to be graded. You know, our grading system, they know tomorrow they're going to come in and there's going to be a point. Every point that Appalachian scored tonight is going to be assigned to somebody. And we have the charts that we keep. They don't want to be. They want to be in that green area where they've done their job. But they really, there is a chemistry with them where they want to see each other do well. And I do think the more that they hold themselves accountable, better team will be. And, you know, App just came off a big win. And there's no doubt early our defense set the tone for us. And our depth that we get, you know, we get to practice that. You know, the way we play defense, we do that every day in practice. That's what we do. And we expect both teams to be able to do it. That's why I was really pleased with those guys that ended the game tonight. I told them, I said, hey, these minutes matter. And don't go out thinking, hey, we're just going to I get open, I'm going to shoot the ball, quick shot. I want to see you play the game. We want to see you play the game. And I really appreciate the way those guys took it serious enough to go out and try to respect the game and do it the right way.
So Rick Barnes, very pleased with his defense. I mentioned earlier in the previous podcast that Tennessee had the fifth highest ranking in terms of defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. After last night, Tennessee has moved up to fourth ahead of Virginia. So the only three teams ahead of Tennessee in terms of defensive efficiency, according to KenPom, Texas Tech, no surprise there, Texas at number three, and then Clemson at number two. Clemson took its first loss of the year Tuesday night against Virginia Tech. It's a Virginia Tech team that's now picked up a couple of quality wins, by the way, over Villanova and Clemson. Clemson was off to a 5-0 start, but Tennessee behind three really good basketball teams and moving ahead of Virginia, which is our most recent national champion in the NCAA tournament. So the Vols continuing to play very well defensively. Appalachian State had shot over 45% from the floor through its first five games, shot just 28% against Tennessee, 5 of 21 from three-point range. So Tennessee continuing to do an excellent job at guarding the perimeter. They're not getting burned by good shooting three-point teams. You saw last year that at times that really haunted Tennessee's defense, especially in that home loss to Wisconsin last year towards the end of non-conference play. Appalachian State just 15 free throw attempts, and the Vols out-rebounding Appalachian State 45-27. 27 total rebounds for Appalachian State, 27 defensive rebounds for the Vols. And Tennessee made it look unfair on the offensive glass. Josiah Jordan James, 5 offensive rebounds, 8 total, 11 points, 3-for-3 from behind the arc. And Josiah talked about that, about how he feels more comfortable as a shooter this season.
I definitely feel a lot more comfortable after having a year of playing and then a year of working on it this offseason. I definitely coach talked to me before quarantine, during quarantine, about what he wanted me to work on. And my shooting was definitely one thing. I work on it every day. So the shots that I get in the offense are something that I work on every day. And it's kind of second nature. I just had a really good night. My teammates set me up really well tonight.
Every night, it seems like somebody else is getting it done for Tennessee. And John Fulkerson finished with 12 points and 5 rebounds. And I think normally you would see Rick Barnes maybe make a comment about that, because he doesn't care about how many points a player scores ultimately, as long as you're playing good defense. But Fulkerson, just 25 minutes last night, not really being expected to do the same things. And you've got more team rebounding against Appalachian State. Pons with 6 rebounds, Vescovi with 4, James with 8, Victor Bailey Jr. with 3, Anasicki with 6, Johnson with 4. I mean, it's just all across the board. Tennessee is getting team efforts on both ends of the floor, and that's exactly what Rick Barnes wants to see. You'll hear more comments on that, more on the other side, more comments from Josiah Jordan James as well. Tennessee defeats Appalachian State 79-38 to move to 3-0. The Vols now ranked in the top 10 in the latest AP poll. It's the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. We'll be back with more next. We all know that good teams in college basketball typically have a lot of experience. You don't see a team full of freshmen often make deep runs into the NCAA tournament. Tennessee has that nice blend of experience and youthful talent. Of course, that experience has a lot of talent as well, with Fulkerson, Pons, Josiah Jordan James now in his second year, Santiago Vescovi as well, Victor Bailey Jr. transfer. I could go on and on, but there's been a lot of attention around Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. And Rick Barnes was first asked about Jaden Springer's versatility. He then talks about the freshman's early maturity. And Johnson had an okay game, shooting just 2 of 7, had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. He impacted the game in a lot of ways, but Jaden Springer, his best performance offensively, 6 of 8 from the field, 12 points on the night. And so both of the freshmen finding ways to make plays for this Tennessee basketball team and taking advantage of the minutes they're getting, because they both had over 20 minutes for the second game in a row. That's not just a matter of the quality of opponent. That was the case against Cincinnati on Saturday as well. So Rick Barnes talking first about Jaden Springer's versatility, and then brings Keon Johnson into the mix as well.
Well, you know, Jaden's got a feel. You know, he likes, I think he likes the way we like to play. You know, we like to get that ball close to the rim, and you know, he's got a great knack. He's got a great feel there, and he's one of those guys that when he gets it in that mid-range deep area, that you're really sort of surprised when he misses. He's very strong, excellent finisher at the rim. Another player that's worked really hard on his shot, and he, again. I've said it before, he and Keon have been hurt with the shutdowns that we've had more than anybody. I mean, if those guys were, we had a typical, what we all would know is normal, they would be further along, but they're having to do it right in front of your all's eyes, because, you know, we practice, they practice, but yet they're out there learning. And what I like about both of them, actually, tonight, and I think it's the second game run, they've taken themselves out. When we tell them, you're going to have to play your way in shape, because we think they can be in better condition. But both of them, I think, took themselves out tonight and the other night, which is good. I mean, that's what they need to do, because they need to learn to sustain it for longer periods of time. And I think that's, again, a very unselfish trait on their part, where they're like, hey, I'm going to go play as hard as I can and tag out and let somebody else have some minutes, and I'll be ready to go. And like I actually told Keon one time tonight, I said, let me know when you're ready. And he sat there for a couple, 2-3 minutes clock time, and then he said, I'm ready. And that's, you want that kind of attitude. You want that kind of, you know, fight from those guys, that they're going to push themselves, and then they know when it's time to check out, they got to check out and get ready to go again.
Another thing that strong teams in the NCAA tournament typically have: deep, talented backcourts. And that is something that Tennessee definitely has this year. And Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer might play their way into the starting rotation here pretty soon. It's been Vescovi, James, and Bailey getting the start in the first 3 games. And there's been a pretty even distribution of minutes. And Johnson and Springer actually ended up playing more minutes than James and Bailey did last night. So there is that potential, and Rick Barnes is not afraid to change his starting lineup in the middle of the season, but I think it really says a lot about all the talent that Rick Barnes has in his backcourt and what that means for Tennessee's basketball team. And Josiah Jordan-James was asked about that with the difference from last year to this year, because Jordan Bowden was going through a slump. Lamonte Turner ended up having to opt out of the rest of the season due to that shoulder injury. And so he was asked about the difference of this season having a much more experienced backcourt for this Tennessee team.
Yeah, definitely last year was a big learning experience, I know, for me personally and the other guards here. So having a year like that, looking back, it definitely helped us. And then having these guys this year, I think that from the start, we knew that we were going to have a lot of depth. And just being able to be with these guys over the summer and show them and have them under our wings, like Jaden and Keon, not only me trying to teach them what I know, but other guys, I feel like we bonded a lot. And then just the experience that we have, we kind of helped them out. And then they brought their own talent and their own fight that they have. And so I feel like our depth is something that we can build on this year.
Josiah Jordan-James. Bailey actually led the team last night. We haven't mentioned this yet. Bailey led the team with 13 points. James with 11. Fulkerson and Springer both with 12. Bailey also took more shots than anybody else. 6 of 14 from the floor. Just 1 of 5 from three-point range. He had one that kind of skipped off the side of the rim. Didn't look like a good miss. And so it looked like he had found his stroke early in the Colorado game. And since then, it has not been that consistent. So we'll see if that progresses as the season goes on. But again, Josiah Jordan-James, 3 for 3 from behind the arc, 6 of 18 on the night overall as a team. So Tennessee has not shot 20 or more three-pointers in a single game yet this season. And that shot wasn't there for Tennessee last year. This is not a great three-point shooting team. Could that change as the season goes on? Of course, we're only 3 games in, but you have to wonder if Tennessee is maybe suffering a little bit offensively from the fact that it just doesn't have a whole lot of generating offense from the perimeter. So that is something that is going to hopefully progress as the season goes on. What happened around the rest of college basketball over the last couple of days? Tennessee's moved up into the top 10. Who else is potentially on the radar of doing some big things on a national landscape? I've got one team in mind, and we'll look around the rest of the country as well. But Tennessee in the top 10 in the AP poll. They win by 41 over Appalachian State. The Vols 3-0, also 3-0 against the spread, FYI. And the freshmen are making a big impact. The transfers are playing a lot of minutes. This is a talented, talented Tennessee basketball team, and Rick Barnes really has to like what he's seeing from his team so far. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast next. So looking around the rest of the country, I want to go back to Monday. Rutgers knocked off Maryland in a Big Ten matchup by 14. Rutgers now 5-0 on the season. They're ranked in the top 20 in the AP poll. And that's a team with Ron Harper's son playing on that team. And I think for the Scarlet Knights, it's a team that would have broken a lengthy NCAA tournament drought last year had the tournament been played. And now they are kind of in the thick of it with the Big Ten. And when you look at Iowa and Illinois and Michigan State and all these other good teams, Michigan is off to a good start. And then you have, I mentioned Wisconsin. I just think how deep the Big Ten is. And it's easy for some teams to get lost in the shuffle. I was listening to Andy Katz, who does a lot of work for college basketball through the NCAA, does the March Madness podcast. And he was talking earlier this week about how he believes Minnesota is a team that could be in the thick of it with the Big Ten, with Marcus Carr, Booth Gotch, the transfer from Utah, who has made a big impact. And that was a team that was in the tournament 2 years ago under the younger Patino. And they went and got pummeled by Illinois the other night. I don't think that that's an indication that Minnesota is not a good basketball team. But they got off to a good start and then took some really bad shots after that, and Illinois rolled from that point on. But it goes to show that there's a lot of depth within that conference. So you go back to Monday, Rutgers is a team to definitely pay attention to. You've heard me say that before. I really like Marquette, and that was a nice win over Creighton on Monday night. And Marquette's got a couple of losses, after starting the season with a couple of easy wins. They lost to Oklahoma State. They beat Wisconsin when Wisconsin was ranked fourth in the country. They lost to UCLA. That's a UCLA team that's really bounced back from that loss to San Diego State. And then Marquette bounced back from that UCLA loss with a win over Creighton. So Marquette with wins over Wisconsin and Creighton, their only two losses, UCLA and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State off to an undefeated roll here. Narrowly beat Wichita State on Saturday, but they are undefeated. Cade Cunningham, of course, one of the top recruits in the country, expected to be a one-and-done guy who's going to be playing in the NBA next season. And while I am anticipating that this is going to hold up, as of now, Oklahoma State is still eligible for the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's going to stay that way, but I do believe that ultimately Oklahoma State's going to miss out on the tournament, which is why it was such a big story that Cunningham opted to still go to Stillwater and play for the Cowboys. But if that ends up not happening and the Cowboys are eligible for the NCAA tournament, watch out for Oklahoma State. Tuesday night, Virginia Tech, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, beat Clemson 66-60. So Virginia Tech with another quality win after knocking off Villanova. They get the win over Clemson. Clemson was 5-0 on the season. Illinois beat up on Minnesota, winning that game by 27. Wisconsin needed to hold off Loyola Chicago. Ended up winning by 14. Had trouble getting rid of Sister Jean there in the first half. Brad Davison scored 17 points to help Wisconsin to get going from behind the arc and pull away there. UCF and Houston got postponed. That's unfortunate. This is a really good Houston team. You hear me bring up the stat all the time when it comes to the KenPom rankings. Every national champion in the KenPom era since 2002 has been ranked both in the top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency, which means, as history would say, to win a national championship, you have to be in the top 20 in both. Houston is one of the few teams that is very close to being there. They're 12th in the nation in offensive efficiency, 22nd in defensive efficiency. That's a team that you might want to pay attention to in the American Athletic Conference. And then you've got Cincinnati, SMU, Memphis, all talented teams that could make a splash out of that league as well. Florida State beat Georgia Tech 74-61, so Georgia Tech unable to continue the momentum after beating Kentucky last week. So Florida State off to a pretty good start. 4-0 on the season. They, after beating North Florida in their opener, they've got wins over Indiana, Florida, and Georgia Tech. They get UCF this Saturday, assuming that game is played. They'll get Gardner-Webb in their last non-conference game before they open up ACC play with Clemson. So potentially really great matchup there on December 29th to begin ACC play. But three power conference wins already for Florida State, including its ACC opener against Georgia Tech. Wednesday, you've got some intriguing games as well in the Big Ten. Ohio State takes on Purdue. Wake Forest and Virginia has been postponed. NC State and Louisville has been postponed. So the ACC kind of getting hit with some games. Northern Iowa has shut down its activities for the time being. AJ Green just had hip surgery. They took some losses, so they are not going to play Wisconsin tonight. Duke is going to play Notre Dame. Notre Dame coming off that win over Kentucky. Duke, of course, shut down its non-conference games and is now picking things back up in the ACC. Texas plays Sam Houston State. And then Villanova takes on Butler as that game is going to tip off at 7 o'clock. In the SEC, you have Vanderbilt in action kind of early in the day as they are going to take on Richmond at 1 o'clock. Mississippi State faces Central Arkansas at 7. Ole Miss is going to play Middle Tennessee State, so Kermit Davis facing his former team, and then LSU taking on New Orleans. And again, we'll mention the good news that has happened. Florida is not playing North Florida tonight as originally scheduled. Keontae Johnson got some pretty good news. His parents have said that he is now, instead of critical condition, he's in stable condition. He's been able to be responsive to his doctors and his parents. They appreciate the overwhelming amount of support that they have received for Johnson. If you watched the Tennessee basketball game on the SEC Network last night, you saw Tennessee taking a moment to pray for Keontae Johnson. So just awesome to see what the basketball world is doing to reach out and support the preseason SEC Player of the Year. Just a really scary situation what happened when he collapsed on the court over the weekend against Florida State. But great to hear that he is now in stable condition, and hopefully, hopefully he will be back on the court for the Gators again soon. You don't want to see that. Even as a Tennessee fan, you don't want to see that happen to anybody, even a Florida player. So wishing nothing but the best for Keontae Johnson and a speedy recovery for him, and that the Florida program would be able to get through this. And because, you know, it's tough for those players too. It's tough for the teammates to have to watch their teammate collapse on the court like that, and then wondering throughout the last several days, is he going to be okay? What's the deal? It's still unknown if this is related to COVID-19 or not. So I'm not going to speculate on that, but just wanted to give that update. If you hadn't heard already, Keontae Johnson now in stable condition, which is some very good news for the Florida star. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. Tennessee getting the win last night over Appalachian State. They will next be in action this Friday at 8 o'clock against Tennessee Tech. You can hear that game with pregame coverage starting at 7:30 with Vol Network coverage on the Sports Animal, 99.1 FM, 990 AM. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thanks for listening to Behind the Arc.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.